I'm telling you, I know it ain't God's will for everybody to preach, but everybody ought to have to try once, I feel like. Y'all hear what I'm saying tonight? Amen. I appreciate these good young men. Let's get in here tonight and let's help them, okay? Come on, Brother Tyler.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I appreciate the Lord. I sure got a lot to thank Him for, don't you? Amen. We all do. We all do. I hope you'll pray for me tonight. I get nervous every time. I don't know if I'll ever get over it, but I know what He gave me, and just I hope I can get it out like He meant for me to. So you pray for me and help me, and be turning to Acts chapter 20. Glad Mom and Dad come tonight. Good to see them. Acts chapter 20. Verse number 8. Acts 20 and verse number 8. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell upon him, saying, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again, they had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day. So he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. If the Lord will help me for just a little while, I want to preach on there's still a use for Eutychus. There's still a use for Eutychus. Would you pray for me one more time? Amen, amen. This young man, Eutychus, is known to all of us. I mean, if you've been in church very long, you've probably heard this young man preached about. And you can look at his story in many different ways. There is all kinds of ideas, and people think all kinds of different things, preach all kinds of different things, the reasons that this young man fell and the reasons that he ended up where he did. Some think that he was affected by the wrong things around him. Some think that verse 8 said it, there was many lights in the upper chamber. In those days, they dipped their torches in oil and it would dry on there, and then they would light them. It would make fumes, and a lot of people think that was what he was affected by, the fumes that was in the upper chamber, instead of being affected by the preaching. And they've preached it that way, and they've preached on it like that. Some people think that he was attracted by something outside the church, that his attention and his vision, all of his focus became focused on something other than what was going on inside the church, and they've preached it that way. Some preached that he was just simply like that little girl that fell out of the bed, and they asked her what happened. She said, "I just stayed too close to where I got in at." Some people preached it that way. They preached, you know, that he never did. Church got boring to him because he never did. It wasn't a growing relationship. It wasn't a progressing relationship. So it got old and bored and boring to him. He became complacent, and he fell asleep and fell out of the window. And they've preached it that way. I've heard it preached that way. Personally, I think probably what happened, if you'll read earlier in that chapter, it talks about him running from people after him. I think he was probably setting that window as a watch. He was setting that window to be looking out for soldiers or folks that didn't like Paul preaching there and was going to come and arrest him. And so he was set there as a helper. He was set there as a worker in a church. He was set there to be a help to the church. And he just got weary in well doing. He just got weary. It's untelling how many nights they'd been preaching. preaching. The Bible says they was there for 7 days. I don't know how many nights they had church, but I'm assuming they'd probably been in revival. He'd probably been watching for a lot of nights. He was probably just wore out. He was probably just tired. But really, I don't really care how he got there. I'm not really worried about how he ended up here. I want to focus on what happened, and regardless of how he fell, you're looking at a situation now where he lies. He fell 3 stories down, and now he lies broken and busted, a life messed up and tragically come to an end, a life that is falling apart and just seems like there's absolutely no hope. And the church people come running down there, and they grab him up, and they say, "He's dead. It's over. It's done." It's such a tragedy. It's such a heartbreak. It's over. He fell from where he was safe. He fell from where he was loved. He fell from where he had so much hope and so much potential. And now you find his life. Here he is, this young man. It seems like probably in the prime of his life. And now here he is. He's fallen. And it's so tragic. And it seems like there's nothing we can do to fix it. But I like in verse number 10, and when the man of God comes down there, and it says he fell on him. I believe he just got right down where he was at. I believe he took him up like this. I believe he picked him up and hugged him. I believe he wrapped him up and he got a hold of him. And the Bible don't really tell us what all happened, but I'm sure it was probably blood everywhere. It was probably mess everywhere. It was probably a gum. It probably looked awful. I'm sure when the man of God knelt down and he wrapped him up, I just kind of feel he probably done something like this. I think he probably shook him a little bit and said, "Come on, hey, look at me. Hey, come on, look at me." Everybody around said he's dead. It's useless. It's hopeless. It's helpless. There ain't no sense in worrying about it anymore. But the man of God grabbed a hold of him and he began to shake him. I don't know. I kind of feel like he might have said something like this. "Hey, come on now. Look at me. Your fall don't have to be final. Come on, look at me. Your disgrace don't have to be your demise. Come on, look at me. Hey, look at me here. There's still life in him." He turns up and he stands up and he said, "There's still life in him. There's still hope burning inside. There's still a future for this young man. There's still life down in him." Hey, I come to tell you. Hey, I come to tell somebody. There's been 10,000 devils of hell tell you that it's over. There's been 10,000 devils of hell said you'll never get what you once had. You'll never get back up. You'll never climb back to what God once had for you. You've fallen down and you're never going to get up. But I come by to say, if I could, I'd grab right a hold of you. And I'd shake you and I'd say, "Your fall don't have to be final. Your disgrace don't have to be your demise. Hey, there's still life in it. You can live again. Hey, if you'll get back up, you don't have to lay where you landed." I believe, hey, you don't have to lay. You can fall. But if you'll let him, he won't leave you where you landed. He'll pick you back up. And there's still life inside. I read a definition of triumph that I really like. It said there's just enough oomph to try again. That's what triumph means. Just having enough oomph to get up and try again. And you'll have the victory after a while. Woo! Oh, help me here. I want you to notice the next thing that happens. The very next thing, they go up and Paul and the rest of the people are eating. And they... Paul leaves right after Paul. It's already the next day. Paul leaves in the morning. And then the next thing that happens, Eutychus comes back to church. Eutychus comes back to church. And you know, it's the strangest thing. He starts comforting people. He starts helping people. That same guy that they said ain't no sense in worrying about it. He ain't never going to do nothing again. He's failed. There ain't no hope for him. He messed up. He's out. He's gone. But the very next day, we find him back in church. And he's a comfort to the people. He's a help to the people. He's back doing something for God. Hey, I know a young man. If that was us, you wouldn't find us nowhere. You'd find us at the house. We'd be too embarrassed to go out or do anything. Well, Lord, I can't do nothing. I messed up. I failed. I embarrassed everybody right in the middle of revival. I've done awful. We had all this going on right in front of this great missionary. I've embarrassed the whole church. There ain't no way I can go back there and ever do anything for God again. I'm done. I'm washed up. I'm out. I'm useless. Hey, but that ain't what he did. Listen. Listen. I know a young man. good young guy, good boy. Lord saved him, done a great work in his heart and life, saved him. He got to praying for the Holy Ghost. Seemed like he never could do no good. He never could break on through. He got so down and discouraged about it. Eventually, he got so aggravated with it, he wouldn't do nothing. He didn't want you to ask him to sing. He didn't want you to ask him to testify. He didn't want to raise his hands. Spirit of God come by and begin to move, and he just wouldn't do anything. And the devil, every time the Spirit of the Lord come by to help him, the devil be standing there. Now, hang on now. You know you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Now, don't you get out of order. Don't you get out of hand. If you try to get up there and get in, you know you ain't got everything you need just yet. You know you can't do that. You know you can't do that until the devil backed him right up in a corner, and he never would do nothing. And he sat there and just about dried up and died because the devil backed him up into the corner over what he didn't have. But listen, he was already saved. The Lord done saved him. He said, it's a joy of your salvation. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. You need the Holy Ghost, and you need to be seeking it. But listen, you ain't never going to get it if you don't get some gratitude and worship and get some life back in your heart. Hey, that's how you're going to get it. He inhabits the praise of his people. Don't misunderstand me. You need to be seeking for the Holy Ghost. But what I'm saying is he let the devil back up what he didn't have. You take what he didn't have, back him right up in a corner and defeat him from ever doing anything for God again. Eutychus could have done the same thing. He could have come to church and said, I ain't no way. I'll never be a help again. I'll never do anything again. But Eutychus, didn't the Lord bring you back to life? Didn't you do a great work? Yeah, but now I've not got everything that I used to have, and I've not got everything that I need, and I'm not got everything that I ought to have just yet. And so that he could have let the devil just back him right up in a corner and be useless for the rest of his life. But God said, I've still got a use for you, Eutychus. I've still got something I want you to do. And he went to church, and I believe he began to testify. He might have said something like this: hey, I've not got everything that I once had just right. He might have still been sore. He might have still had a limp. He might have still had a crick in his neck. He might have still had some things that had to work out later. But he gone to church and he said, hey, I may not be back to everything that I used to have and everything that I used to be, but there's one thing for sure: I ain't dead no more. He's done enough in my life for me to praise him. He's done enough in my life for me to be a testimony. He's done enough. And you know what happened when old Eutychus come back to church and he got to testifying about what God had done? You know what he did? He got help. It didn't just help Eutychus. It helped the whole church. He said they weren't just a little comforted. They wasn't just a little comforted. It helped everybody there when Eutychus broke out. And in spite of what he was lacking, and in spite of what he was embarrassed of, and in spite of what happened in his past, when he broke out and said, oh, great God Almighty, I've still got a testimony of how he picked me up. I've still got a testimony of how he didn't leave me where I landed. Woo! Woo! Great God Almighty. Great God Almighty. I'm telling you what. I'm telling you what. There is so many defeated, beat down people that claim to be saved, and they've experienced things. They let the devil just absolutely beat them down. Listen. There's still life there. You don't have to let him use everything that was back there in the past to keep you from ever getting help again. If you want to get up, he won't leave you where you landed. Listen, you ain't never going to get help if you don't step out. I'm serious. The devil will do it. He'll rob. He'll beat you out of everything God's got for you if you'll let him. He'll point out every flaw and every reason why you ain't good enough and why you can't do it if you'll let him. He'll beat you out of everything that God's got for you and keep you right there where you are and let you dry up and fizzle out and never do nothing again. But I'm telling you, if you got a desire to get back up, if you got a desire to do something for God, if you got a desire to go on with the Lord, I'm telling you, he'll get you back up. There's still life there. There's still power there. There's still anointing there. If you'll let him, he'll pick you back up and he'll do a work. I used to work at Robinson's, and they'd use, I've told this before a long time ago, they used these old handbills. They'd write out these hand receipts. Everything was written out by hand, and it started out, and it'd have your name, the date, then it'd have all the list of all the items you got and what each item cost, and at the bottom it'd have a total cost, your total bill, and then they'd sign who accepted payment for that and how they paid, whether it was by check or cash or charge account, however they paid it. And, you know, if I went back up there to Robinson's, they kept them, all them receipts. If I went back up there, I could probably dig out up in that warehouse. I could dig out some receipts from way back when I worked there. And I could take that list, and I could take it to one of them customers and say, now listen, this is your bill. But you know, at the bottom of that bill, I'd mark PD for paid. Yes, it's done. It don't do away with the list. They still a record somewhere up there at Robinson's. But it does away with the power of that list to do anything to that customer. Yes, now you know what? Now they sometimes, quite regular, the devil will come around with a list. And my name's right at the top and the date that I've done it. Right over there. And he's got a whole list of things that I failed at and I made a mess of and that I just totally destroyed with my sin. And he's got right across from him in the cost is death, 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 death. And that total cost is eternity in hell without him. Suffering the wrath of God. But you know what? You know what's so great? When he comes around right regular and he'll take that list and he'll go to waving it and he'll go to saying, and it is my name. It is my sins. It is, I cannot deny them. They are mine. But sometimes I just have to remind him to read the bottom of the bill. Sometimes I got to tell him, hey, if you'll read the bottom, you'll see where Jesus Christ accepted payment and he paid it with the blood of Calvary and he put paid on there. And now that list is real. That list is real. I remember what happened. The devil remembers what happened. Some people around me might remember what happened, but that list no longer has power to control my life anymore. Hey, some of you have been beat down about long enough. Some of you have been backed in a corner about long enough. You need to remind the devil, go ahead and read the bottom of the bill. Go back and read it again. I'm no longer controlled by that anymore. Go back and read. It's been paid for by the blood of Jesus. It's been covered by Calvary's flow. God in heaven, you don't have to lay where you landed. There's hope for you again. There's life in you. Woo! Great God. I wish I could get this out to you like I feel so bad. Oh, when the Lord was dealing with me. I know how miserable it is to be beat down by that, to be embarrassed. Hey, he comes around and I get so embarrassed. I think, oh God, I don't know if I can ever get up again. I don't know if I... He comes around and starts reminding me of some of those things. I think, oh Lord, some people might not know, but I do. And the devil does. And I know you do. And the devil will try to beat me down with it. And I know he does everybody that way. I ain't having a pity party, but I'm saying, when I was studying this, I thought, oh God, there's some people that just, they've been beat down so long. They've let the devil use that to beat them and back them up so long. I thought, oh Lord, I sure hope they get a hold of it tonight. I sure hope they get the message. I sure hope it comes through that you don't have to lay where you landed. There's still life there. There's still life there. You can get back up again. You can still be useful in the house of God again. There's still a use for a Eutychus. Woo! Hey, I'll go as far to say as we are in desperate need of somebody that'll stand up and say, hey, I'm not perfect, but I'm not dead. I'm not perfect, but I'm not dead. I'm not perfect, but I'm not where he found me. Woo! Hey, the church is in desperate need of a Eutychus to stand up and say, you don't have to lay there. You don't have to stay there. You can get up if you want to. You can get up if you want to. Woo! Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got more notes. I got more notes. I got more things I can preach. But hey, hey, is it all right if I just do what I feel? Is it all right if I just do what I feel? Woo! Oh, God in heaven. Oh, God in heaven. Hey, there's some folks in here in desperate need. In desperate need. Oh, you don't have to lay there. You don't have to stay there. You can come out if you want to. He'll lift you up if you let him. You don't have to lay where you landed. You can get back up again. There's still life there. There's still hope there. There's still help there. Oh, I hope you can get this. You need to tell the devil, hey, go back and read the bottom of the bill. Go back and read the bottom of it. Yeah, they're my sins. It's my name, but it's his blood and it's his worthiness. It's his merit that I'm coming. I'm not coming because I'm worthy. I'm not coming because I'm strong. I'm not coming because of me. But I'm coming in the merit of Jesus Christ. I'm coming in the power of his sinless life. I'm coming in his name. He accepted payment and he covered it for me. And he's got a use for you in the house of the Lord. He's got a use for you. Woo! He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. Your failure don't have to be final. Your disgrace don't have to be your demise. You can get back up again. He still has a use for Eutychus. He will still find a place for a fallen soul. I'll say this and I'm done. I'm going to close. I feel like the Holy Ghost is here to help somebody. The Holy Ghost is here to set you free. I got more I can preach. I got more I can do. But I feel like the Holy Ghost is here to set somebody free. To let somebody realize, hey, I don't have to stay where I've been no longer. I don't have to stay beat down. He's already done a work. And he's already washed me clean. Hey, there's something he's got for me to do. There's still a use he's got for me. Woo! It never fails. It never fails when you decide to get back up again. The devil will come around and he'll say, now, you may try, but what's going to happen if you... That's why I liked what Dad and Brother Ashley was saying up here. He's your keeper. He's your keeper. Well, my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. And let me turn to it so I can... Let me say it so I can read it so I can say it right. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Old Spurgeon in his notes, he said he never did. I've told this before, but I love it. I tell it right regular. He said he never did understand that verse. He never did really understand it just right. He said till he was walking home from where he was teaching one day, I believe he said the Lord give him a vision. I believe it's how it was. He said he gave him a vision of this mighty river. And this little bitty fish, this little bitty minnow, was swimming in that river. He said that fish was so thirsty, he couldn't hardly stand it. And he thought, if I drink all I need, I'll drain this river dry. He said, I'll drain everything in this river if I drink everything I need. And he said he heard that river tell that little fish, drink away, little fish. My river is sufficient for thee. Hey, I come to tell you, drink away, little fish. There's enough grace to keep you. It ain't up to you to stay. Hey, the devil's telling you right now, if I try again, what's going to happen? If I get up and try to do anything, I'm going to fall right back down again. I can't stand on my own. Hey, you don't have to, because his grace is sufficient for you. Just drink away. Just come back and drink away. He's got a use for you. He's got a plan for you. He's desiring to use you to help the church. He's desiring to use you to help the lost people out there. He's desiring to use you to do a work and tell somebody, hey, that there is redemption and there is restoration power. He's desiring to use you, Eutychus, but you're going to have to come back and humble under the hand of God and let Him use you. Hey, if you're worried about staying, don't worry about it. It ain't up to your strength. It ain't up to your merit. Hey, His grace is sufficient for you. Yeah. Great God Almighty. Oh, somebody pray. Oh, great God Almighty, you don't have to stay there. I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm waiting on somebody to get the message through. I'm waiting on somebody to get a hold of it. There's still a use for you. There's still a use for you in the house of God. There's still a use for you. God's not done with you. Hey, God's not done with you. He's desiring to use you. He's desiring to use you again. He's desiring to use you to be a testimony of what He can do. Oh, these altars are open. These altars are open. Would you come around? Oh, would you see it? Would you get a hold of it? You don't have to stay there no longer. You don't have to stay where you've been no longer. There's still a use for you. Fallen don't have to be final. There's still a use for you in the house of God. There's still a use for you. He's still got a plan for you. He's still got a desire for you. He wants to pick you back up and see you do a work for Him.